guest is Dave Gehary. He is the he's a publisher, and we're talking about a book, Side Effects, Death, Confessions of a Pharma Insider by John Verapin, PhD. And that pressure drive with Sidney Taurel, oh my gosh. And it was really up to John to find out how to get approval, and he decided that he had to buy a psychiatrist, and you just have to figure out which one, what the price was, which he was able to do. If you'd like to call into the program with questions or comments, telephone number is 800-313-9443. This was his career, because he had to get approved in Sweden, and then it would be approved in Britain, and then it would be approved in the United States. And what he said, what John said, in the meantime, Taurel had arrived again and had formulated his request to push fluoxetine somewhat more clearly. He sounded a bit like the Catholic priest at Sunday school. Do it or else.
Yeah, that's a very important part of this story too, because, you know, when you get to that level, obviously, and you're aware of the dynamics between the, you know, the CEO of a multinational, you know, billion-dollar company and a hustler, a salesman, then, yeah, you really don't have to talk much, obviously. And he let him know right away that, you know, if you want to play in the big leagues, you know, I'm giving you a ride to the airport. You know, you're basically nothing, you know, compared to me.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to let you in to my world. And all you have to do is just figure out how to get this on the market. Basically, as you said, as you read, do what you have to do, period.
Right.
And, or if you don't, and this is the important part of the message, one of the important parts of the message, if you don't, you're basically done. And
right.
So when people, you know, criticize, or people who might want to criticize John, you know, they could say, well, you know what, he got the message, but he didn't know at that point what it was that he had to do. He just figured, okay, I'm going to do it. Because Sidney, good old Sidney, was saying that, you know, if you don't get this done, you're off the team. And when you make that much money, the money that John made for, you know, doing what he did, and a lot of it is, and we've seen it, we've been to doctor's offices where, you know, the drug rep comes in and, you know, they've got their bag of tricks, and they're waiting to see the doctor, and they've got the goodies for the receptionists. And, well, of course, there's other things that John talks about with the receptionists as well. It wasn't just, you know, going in to see them with a bag of goodies. It was more than that. And I don't want to spoil it for people, because there are, again, more people who are getting the book, and I can see that crossing across the computer screen here, and they'll see what John actually did in order to advance the company and his interests, and which, of course, he later came to regret.
Yes. And it was so incredible. He had children with his first wife. He ultimately married a third time when he was quite a bit older, and he never really looked his age. He looked great right up to the end.
You're right.
And the reason that it was his child, he said, No, he said, I'm scared that my son will also be turned into the type of person that the pharmaceutical industry loves the most, a willing pill popper who takes medicines for made-up illnesses people are talked into having, with deadly side effects included in the price. The pharmaceutical industry is changing the reasoning of the coming generation. He did it for his son.
Yes, and that was in, as we know, that was in the beginning stages of all this. Now it's a well-oiled machine to the point where the pharmaceutical industry is using the all of the, you know, the media, the government, in order to get their message out. And they are really, you know, sitting back because, well, it costs them millions and millions of dollars, of course, but they're sitting back and they're reaping the rewards of having the government and the media shill for them. You know, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're shilling for them. They're shaming people who have doubts about the vaccine. And it's gotten to such a more sophisticated level than it was when John was doing it. That's why, and we touched on this before, that's what's important about the book, is that you can see that this is the beginning of what we're dealing with now. And the thought that, wow, how is it that they are, you know, doing this in lockstep, and they're all agreeing, they're saying the same things, the new normal, you've seen those videos, right? Because of what John has laid out, they've gotten to the point where they just spend so much money, and it's just so effective now to buy this mass obedience from the media, from government, from the health authorities, that they know exactly what they're doing.
Exactly. He said, at the beginning of chapter 16, you could exaggerate and say that pharmaceutical companies consist of two departments, legal and marketing. Researchers and research results are bought as required, but the marketing has to work. The lawyers subtly sweep away any breaches of law, broken porcelain, or unpleasant trails of blood with their brooms and sweep up the mess. And that's exactly what they do.
That's right. And he says it so well.
He does. Gosh.
Yeah. I didn't write that. So, you know,
no,
that was,
he did. He's,
that was him. And, you know, a guy who, you know, English was not, you know, his first language, and who was, as you said, you know, the one of many siblings that he had. He was of seven, coming for, you know, for the hope of a better world. And here's a guy who went to the top and said, you know what, I can still make money, but I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in teaching people about the downside to all of these drugs.
Right. Right. Some of the ways that they buy doctors, oh my goodness, he actually only ran into one doctor that said, I know what you're doing, and you know, I'll go along with your, I'll go on your little trip to the Caribbean, but I'm not going to buy into what you're trying to sell me. Only one doctor out of hundreds that took advantage of the opportunity that Eli Lilly was giving them. Oh, come and spend a week on a Caribbean isle, and they also
Yeah, what does that have to do with medicine?
Right, and they provided all sorts of entertainment, and you could bring your wife or not bring your wife. It was interesting to say.
And guess what? It's all a tax write-off too.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
They got it made, man. They know how to do it. And it's really not that hard to buy off a politician. It really doesn't cost that much. People think that, you know, it's something that, you know, it's cost prohibitive. I mean, to these guys, $100,000 is like $5 to us.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, expected that this country, which is centered around money, would, you know, devolve to the status that it has, you know, because money is, especially with Citizens United, there's no restrictions on that because they consider it free speech to be able to donate money. It's the same as, you know, the First Amendment. You know, you have a right, you have the freedom to take your money and use it as a way to, you know, show what you think, what you feel, and that's free speech. So we're probably not going to get out of this money thing for a while. And besides, it's making those in D.C. fabulously wealthy.
Exactly.
So it's all tied into this pharmaceutical nightmare that we find ourselves in. And, you know, it's going to get to the point where, of course, you saw, Deanna, that there was one of the congressmen who said that he's willing to authorize a higher payout for the stimulus
if you take the jab,
get the vaccine, right?
Yes.
He'll do the 1400, but you got to get jabbed. Be a good boy or girl and get jabbed first, and we'll give you more money.
And you wreck their business, get them fired from their jobs, and then you put that on them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
We have a caller, Mark in Philly. Mark?
Hello, Deanna.
Hi.
Hello to your guest there. Deanna, it's been a while since I've listened to your show, but something today said, listen to Deanna. And here we go. This is the perfect subject because I've called him before about this kind of thing, but I'm glad that your guest is, he's also wrote about the Liberty, right? You wrote about the Liberty?
That's right. It never ends, actually, the Liberty story for me. It's actually coming to an end, but yeah, there's a revision to the book coming out, and what I have uncovered is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I believe I've spoken with you before, and I forgot your name. I'm sorry. I'm just
Dave Gehara.
Dave Gehara, yes, and I'm Mark, and I'm here in Philly, and I happen to be a Navy veteran, and I've called in to Deanna when she talked about the drug issue, and I'm telling you, I have firsthand experience. The largest healthcare provider in the United States, in case your listeners don't know, is the VA administration. And I happen to be a veteran, and I went through experiences with the VA and firsthand experience of these SSRIs. And I trusted that they, you know, that they knew what they were doing, and that they were intelligent, and that they, here's the key part, that they cared. But what I've learned in my synopsis of psychiatry is that they're drug dealers, they're legalized drug dealers, and they don't give a damn. Most of them don't give a damn about human life. And I think many of them are actually, you know, we have empathy and compassion on the one extreme. On the other hand, all the way at the other end of the scale, you have apathy. You have narcissism. And many psychiatrists are narcissists. They think they're God and you're nothing, and they're going to tell you this and that and whatever, and they don't listen. So I happen to have, they happen to have prescribed me SSRIs for depression. Now, it turned out after multiple facilities that I went to try to heal the depression from basically post-traumatic stress disorder that I got triggered in when I was in service, it turned out that the SSRIs, I found out later, I stopped taking them. I stopped going to the VA system altogether because they were causing me so many side effects. They were causing me extreme side effects the same symptoms they were supposed to solve. They were causing them. And the reason why, for me, I discovered later that I'm a poor metabolizer. Now, I'm not, and what that means is I lack a certain enzyme in my body where I can't even process the darn drugs, and the SSRIs would build up toxicity in my body, and they could have killed me. They could have killed me, for real. I'm not alone. I'm not rare. Approximately 10% of Caucasians are poor metabolizers. Approximately 10%. And all you have to do is research. And I did this at University of Pennsylvania. I got access to the library system, and I went into their database and it accessed PubMed. And PubMed, I just typed in my enzyme CYP2D6, and it came up with 588 articles. This is in 2017 that I did this, and I was really blown away. Especially the best research came from Sweden, and from back in the mid 90s. And basically, boil it down, what they said is poor metabolizers should not be prescribed SSRIs because it can cause death by toxicity. Death by toxicity. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then the other part that I read, that I researched there, was that there are other metabolizers called ultra-metabolizers. And they process the drug really, really good to the other extreme, and it's so good that it can drive them over the edge. Approximately 4% of Caucasians are ultra-metabolizers. And the synopsis of that is ultra-metabolizers should not be prescribed SSRIs because it can cause death by suicidality. Wow. And right then, I was like, oh, my God. You know, so you add up 10% plus 4%, you got 14%. That's 1 out of 7. And then right at that time was when Trump was on the news with Dr. Shulkin, who happened to be a professor from University of Pennsylvania. And I said, I've got to print this out. I printed out 8 of the articles. I highlighted them, and I set up an appointment. I was not going to the VA at the time at all, but I set up an appointment with one of the higher, longer-serving psychiatrists, put it in front of him on his desk, and had a conversation with him, told him, look, I was put at the edge of death with this stuff. And so surely the VA is doing something about this. No, they weren't doing anything about it, and they weren't going to do anything about it. And this psychiatrist would not even take a closer look at the information I had put in front of him because he said, well, this is a new phenomenon. I said, really? And I had articles in front of him in 1998, 2002, 2004, 2006. I mean, you know, so it's the pharmaceutical companies know this too. And you're correct. And some of the most of the pharmaceuticals are around the Princeton, New Jersey area. One of them's, these facilities are like small cities in and of themselves. They have their own power plants. They have they're huge facilities. So there's a whole lot of money in the drug business for darn sure. And the SSRIs were developed like what you guys are talking about with, because I went down the rabbit hole. Bush Senior's was on the board of Eli Lilly. Rumsfeld was on the board of, I think, Searle, Searle, which is the one that developed aspartame.
Yes.
And I think Rumsfeld, or Cheney was on a board of one of the others, I think. And it's interesting that Bush Sr. was a veteran himself, and what happened with the whole, Gulf War I and beyond. And don't think that he didn't have an influence on getting these drugs, these SSRIs, into the coffers of the VA system, because he surely did. I guarantee it. So it's
he did that with the vaccine schedule for children, because this was one of the beautiful articles in the Wall Street Journal. You can always tell that if it's an important one, it's buried in the back. And there was an article buried in the back about Bush being ordered by Big Pharma, of course they didn't use that word, to increase the vaccine schedule of school-age children. Back then in the 80s, in the late 80s, only about 30-35% of school-age children were vaccinated. They ordered him to bring it up to 90%, and he did his job. So this is a real evil guy who has been responsible for a lot of misery.
operations
in our world.
Would have likely been achieved by now. But
we are going to a break, gentlemen. Mark, feel free to stay over the break. We'll be right back.
Which I left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down. Vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes.
All right. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And we have Mark in Philly that's talking about his experience with the VA. And when you look at, the government, the U.S. government is the biggest consumer of drugs, because they have jurisdiction over the prisons, they have jurisdiction over the schools, they have jurisdiction over the military, and you were talking about the vaccine schedule, which Congress changed in 1986, which took away all liability from the drug manufacturers. And they were able to increase the number of vaccines, to what we now have is about 72 different vaccines. And seriously, are there actually 72 diseases that you live in fear of getting? So, Mark, did you have some other information you'd like to share?
Sure. What I like to say is that, my mindset back then, which was during the late 80s into the 90s, into 2002, I wasn't looking for fault. I thought, well, my body's just having trouble adjusting. Well, yeah, it was. But nobody in that process, multiple psychiatrists at multiple VA facilities, never took the time to research what was going on. They did notice that this was different, and it's like, well, they didn't know what was happening, but all they would do is just say, well, they throw me another drug, so to speak. Okay, it had a different name, But it happened to be the same kind of drug. And here I was a layperson. I didn't know that. I trusted that they were really trying to help me. But I've learned since they were not trying to help me.
When you go to a psychiatrist, they see you for between 5 and 7 minutes. If you engage in talk therapy, the doctor has to spend an hour with you. So it's about money as well as not caring about what they're doing to people.
Yeah, what I needed for the PTSD was primarily counseling. I didn't want the drugs, but the way the hierarchy is set up in the VA system and maybe throughout is that the hierarchy at the top of the pyramid are the psychiatrists, not psychologists, psychiatrists.
Right.
So, and back when in the 80s and in the 90s and beyond, if you needed counseling, which is what I needed, they would give you very little counseling, but they made sure to give you a drug, right? Mm-hmm. And now the other thing that happened when I stopped going to the VA in 2002, but in 2017 I re-embraced this because I needed counseling, and I went through a third party to get counseling that then bridged the gap back to me going to the VA for counseling, still for PTSD, which I'm still trying to get actually. But I'm not with the understanding, I'm not taking your drugs. I'm not taking any of your drugs because I've discovered they put me at the risk of death with drugs. I'm not taking their drugs. But here's the other thing. I did look into the possibility of suing them for medical malpractice. However, because of tort reform, if it didn't happen in the last 2 years, it didn't happen.
Mm.
So I couldn't go back on what had happened before where they put me at the risk of death for real.
Wow.
And so they don't care. So my other understanding about SSRIs is that the core of it, I think also for those who aren't poor metabolizers or ultra metabolizers, is what it does is it interrupts REM sleep.
Right.
When we interrupt REM, we don't get a deep, soulful, and I say soulful, sleep where we tap into the dream time of our being and our connection with soul, our connection with all of life, you know, the spiritual aspect of our being. Because these devils and their agents, their agents and their shill front men who are drug dealing sons of guns, if you ask me, they don't care about soul. They could care less. They're in it for the money, and there's a whole lot of money there, and they're making a whole lot of money. And now they got people next to worshiping the medical establishment. I mean, and so what's come up to me recently about this vaccine stuff is there is the analogy of the velvet hand, the iron fist in the velvet glove,
mm-hmm.
the iron fist in the velvet glove. Well, I say that this is the iron fist in the latex glove. This is the iron fist in the latex glove. So these vaccines that they're coming out with, they're not, my sense of it is that it will compromise our immune systems and it will warp our DNA. It will rearrange, it will reprogram our DNA somehow. This is advanced stuff, but this is about taking us out of connecting with our souls. As they say, the devil's in the details, and the detail of these vaccines, the devil is definitely in the detail of these vaccines. That's what I got to say. So, thank you for being here, Deanna, and having your guest on. And I would like to be able to connect with you. I could leave my number with the board man, and have him contact me because I've talked with you before. I know about the Liberty and that issue.
Yes.
With that. And by the way, that Liberty connected a lot of dots for me about who the enemy really is and who they're connected to. And it's in our face now. And they're like, na-na-na-na-na. They're going to
yes.
bring on this evil stuff regardless.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Take care. Really take care. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we.
Alrighty, we are back. Excuse me. Our guest is Dave Gaharie, and thank you, Mark, for calling in. And now we have Mike in Kentucky. Did you want to say anything about Mark's phone call before we move on to Mike?
Yeah, I just feel bad that, you know, for what he has had to go through with the VA. It's always sad to hear when people have to suffer. So it just makes me sad.
Indeed. I feel the same way. All righty, Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Great, great. I wasn't sure if I was on or not. There's usually a little burst of static. Got some quotes here, but what did you say you had a book you were working on, a second edition or update?
You mean on the Liberty?
Yeah, the USS Liberty.
Yes. It's in its second version, but there's going to be, and I say hopefully, but maybe I shouldn't, but there's going to be another version coming out because of information that was uncovered. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Well, there used to be a show on here that talked about it, and the guys quit to produce a film, and I never did hear what happened with the documentary.
Yeah, that was us. We did the USS Liberty Massacre Hour, and because that's what it was. It was a massacre.
One way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
And on that GD ship on the bottom. I'm not going to war over a bunch of dead sailors and some other choice quotes.
That's part of the mythology of the Liberty story.
Okay.
That didn't occur.
Okay. Well,
there's a lot of mythology.
Okay.
With the Liberty story, but I was.
There were not two sorties recalled. They tried to send rescue planes or something.
Yeah, yeah, that happened. That happened.
Okay.
And there's a reason that it happened. So,
okay.
You know, the story is much more nuanced and detailed than.
So LBJ himself did not order those planes recalled.
What's that?
LBJ himself did not order those planes recalled.
No, he did. He did. He ordered the second batch, the second group that was scrambled recalled.
And they were unmarked.
Because they didn't want to, or the officers there aboard the carrier didn't want to believe that McNamara was correct in turning them around again, and they wanted confirmation from a higher authority, of course, from the Secretary of Defense. The next higher authority is the President.
Well, of course, McNamara, I'm thinking some of the insiders at that time might have known not to trust him over the torpedo attack. I can't remember what it's called. He admitted in his memoir, supposedly, that was basically amplified hoax. It started Vietnam.
Gulf
of Tonkin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It
wasn't that. I don't know if that came into play because that happened. Liberty happened in 67, and Tonkin was 64, I think.
Right.
Right. So, but you get the impression that you know these guys talk at that level, that 3-star, 4-star level. That's why they're spying on them. You know, they want to make sure they're not. Comparing notes and going, wait a minute, this is a hoax, this is a sham, you know. But yeah, they're spying on all those guys at the 3-star, 4-star levels, probably before the Patriot Act. But they've automated a lot of the spying now, so you know a lot of the stuff is leaked out from the different whistleblowers, and I think Snowden saw that the people in those circles talk.
Yes.
About, you know, stuff like that, and they see how these whistleblowers are treated. So, or Snowden didn't have any whistleblower protection. But the quotes I wanted to read for you, in reference to that last caller, Alan Francis, psychiatrist and former Diagnostic and Statistical Manual Version 4 Task Force Chairman, says, quote, "There are no objective tests in psychiatry. No x-ray, laboratory, or exam finding that says definitively that someone does or does not have a mental disorder. It's bull bleep." Actually, you know, expletive deleted. "I mean, you just can't define it." And this is a guy that was on the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual Version 4 Task Force Chairman. There's a Citizens Commission for Human Rights, which I know they're kind of they were created or set up by the Church of Scientology or whatever they are, which I've heard different people that's been in there with and left that actually think there's a lot of mythology about Scientology that is not justified either, but that they had to set it up as a church in order to be able to have these there are camps or operations or something that they were doing. They in order to get around the regulations around the medical profession to help people. They had to set it up as a church, which is pretty creative, I guess. But to do that sort of thing.
That there's a separation there, but there's an association.
Yeah. Well. You know, you hear about a lot of the Hollywood elite and all that, that it's a big money game at the top, and that's probably true. I mean, to get to reach this state of clear, they spend all this money, you know. And the Citizens Commission for Human Rights has a lot of people in it that aren't Scientologists.
And, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, even though it was started by them, I think they have a lot of valid information. One of the things that they have, if that guy's still listening, it's a veteran, he needs to get their documentary on how the military was instrumental in expanding this psychotropic drug industry globally to where it's now something crazy like $500 billion. I mean, it's a monster. It's a monster. And so they're suppressing a lot of science, and they just simply treat symptoms with questionable stuff. As he got into, he touched upon that you can have all these problems with metabolism, and it creates immune function problems. And, in a lot of ways, it could make the health problems worse that might actually be what's causing depression or mental illness. And these selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, the SSRIs, that are prescribed to allegedly help with these symptoms, they don't even bother looking. I actually confront it because I've had over the years friends and relatives that end up caught in this system. And I caught one of them. I took them, caught them off their heels, I guess. I said, hey, have you ever tested any of your patients for things like gluten intolerance or toxoplasmosis, because those symptoms can mimic schizophrenia and depression and manic problems. They got really mad and said, what do I look like, a gastroenterologist? And I'm like, geez, a little defensive, aren't you? Because they don't want to look for causes. It would interfere with the profit matrix,
Right.
And you're a battery for that matrix. I mean, so they just, like you were saying, they talk to you for a few minutes and write you a script, and then you're gone, and that's money.
Right.
So it's ridiculous.
And they get a lot of kickbacks too.
It took like 2 years. CBS 60 Minutes finally did a story on it, and people know that I've talked about this for a long time, called me up and said, hey, did you see 60 Minutes? Did you see 60 Minutes? And I'm like, no. And they had did a story back in the spring, maybe April, about strippers and free trips, mm-hmm. and like free meals. The drug salesmen come into the office with catered meals. They come in there and
Mike, you need to read Side Effects Deaths, Confessions of a Pharma Insider. It tells you, it fills in all the details that you're talking about. So it's a must-read book.
When that story broke about the strippers and the free trips and stuff, that was probably in 2016. It only took most of 3 years for CBS to finally do a story on it, and it's because
they
CBS
had to,
gets
because
all this
of Vera Pinn's
they get
book.
All this money. Well, they
and
get all this money
this
from
book.
Their advertisers.
Sure.
They're part of the problem.
Okay. We do have some other callers.
Thank you.
Thanks for the liberty questions, too. Appreciate it.
Yes. Okay, let's take John in California. John? John, are you with us or no?
Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Dave. Nice to hear you again. We spoke the last time you hosted. You had that guest from the Liberty Survivor. That was a
great
show.
John. Great to hear you.
Yeah. Just real quick, how's Phil doing? We haven't heard from him in quite a while.
He's doing good. I just talked to him, I think, about 2 days ago. He sounded great.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've heard anything from him, but...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at that first book you put out, and yeah, the one you're doing, I'll look forward to that again. Quick, getting on to questions. I suffered severe depression back in the 80s and 90s, and I probably took a lot of stuff that they talk. I know one was Prozac, I think another was Zoloft. I know there was other major names. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I don't think about it how I survived that, but I did. And actually, luckily, from a doctor that did a diagnosis and said instead, you've got obsessive-compulsive disorder in your mind. And she put me on some quick and did not put me on a lot of drugs real fast. And not long after that, I got over it. It's like a window opened and, hey, my life, I got it back again. And I didn't have to go on anything after that. That was, a lucky thing for me. But I've And also after that, because I've read the Spotlight newspaper from its beginning and then now American Free Press and all those articles later on about with drugs and people talking about, you know, alternatives and what's really going on with the industry and that, I'm so thankful to get that information, and it just kept me off that stuff for, you know, up to this point that I've been able to do very well. The only downside of that first time I got through that, it cost me my marriage with my first wife. She didn't believe it and argued with a doctor, and then next thing we know, we were split. That was the only downside of that whole thing, getting through it. But it saved my life, I believe.
Or maybe it was an upside.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Yeah. Nothing quicker than the Navy. I was in Vietnam, and I happened to be, at that time, when Admiral Zumwalt, in his tenure as Chief of Naval Operations, he started this program they called the Amnesty Program. And if you were taking drugs, mostly if you were smoking marijuana and or taking any other thing, that you could, you know, go and get counseling and therapy and, you know, get off instead of being put in the brig or something, say like that. I was a representative with my local squadron I was in, and then went to the some of these sessions they had. They had weren't any doctors giving out medications or anything. They had a lot of counseling, and a lot of these private counselors come in off, and they do sessions, therapy, and group counseling. Very interesting, and I think in the long run, I think it just kind of was a gloss over, because a lot of these, some of these service guys was dealing with in that, what they went through, and then they got out. And I learned later on that they just went right back into drugs, and some of them just overdosed and died right off the bat. Even some of the counselors I dealt with, they were private. They ended up falling off the wagon later on, too, and just getting back into their problems they had with drugs. They counseled because they were in it before, so they thought that was a great help. It was an interesting experience to say that I think that what they did back then. And my brother-in-law, my wife's oldest brother, he was in the Army in the Tet Offensive, and he got Agent Orange. And he came out, and he got the runaround up till, well, today, just about with the VA about getting this and that. And he could have gone to a private doctor and had some of that taken care of for less money. But like I said, that's a bureaucracy with the VA, though. They don't want to perpetuate somebody's job by going to an easier way. But luckily he's been able to survive through it himself. But, you know.
That hurt a lot of people, that Agent Orange.
Yeah, luckily it was just on his feet, but still, we don't know. He's had some other maladies. He just had some infection. He had to go back in urinary, and I wasn't surprised. They didn't say anything about the Agent Orange. I'm not surprised if that, over all these years, still causes some problems.
Even for the children.
Oh, yeah.
Even for their children.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, He's still plucking along at 78, but, you know.
Wow.
They're hitting you with all that stuff. So, anyway, that book, isn't the AFP, weren't they advertising that book for a while, too, Dave?
Yeah, they carried it. Yep. And, of course, I was with AFP for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And
I do miss your writing again. Sorry about that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyway, I'll look,
I just don't have the time.
Yeah, I know. There's so many books. Yeah, I look into, now that I've heard more about it, is looking into getting that again, along with your next book on the Liberty. But anyway,
yeah, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that, you know, it's not what we all thought it was. You know, it's a lot different.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, especially listening to that one when you hosted with the survivor.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
And the call he got from the guy, one of the ships that came to help them out, and he didn't know
him all those years. What about that?
You had a caller in who was one of the
to rescue. That's right.
And he said, remember me? Yeah, we were helping you get all the paperwork together to get off.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's right. Yes. Yeah,
that was John Conroy.
John was on the USS Davis, and he was a personnelman. And John and I are in contact regularly. He's a great guy, and I introduced him to the fellow off the Liberty who assisted him, and they never realized who they were after all these years. And I hooked them up together on a phone call, and hopefully they'll meet soon. Because this year the reunion is in Pensacola, and wow. It was the same last year, but because of COVID, it took it out.
Well, that's good. They could still have a way to get together.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dave, thanks a lot for all your good work.
Thank you, John.
Stay with Indiana. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, let's take Ken in New York.
Hi, Deanna. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
Before I ask my question, could you just give out where we can get the DVD for the Liberty?
Well, the DVD of the Liberty is not ready yet. What happened
I thought
was
I missed
because,
something.
Yeah, the DVD we were talking about before was a different DVD. That was The Greatest Story Never Told about World War II and Adolf Hitler. But the Liberty... what happened was that when the first book was released, people came forward to give their story. And the same thing happened when the second version came out. And that led me down, a path to dig out more information. So as soon as this book is done before the 54th observance of the massacre, then we'll revise the script and get moving on that.
Okay. Are you aware of the, pervasiveness of fluoride, even in antibiotics? The most notable ones that I've had some experience with, fortunately, and then stopped it, was Levaquin and Cipro. They
yes.
changed the name slightly. They call it fluoroquinones. I can't imagine why a fluoride would be put into a... antibiotic, and on top of that, it caused a lot of damage.
That's the reason.
Now, yes, and I went to one of my doctors tried to prescribe it for me one time. It was a foot doctor, and I told him I didn't want these still. Now, the next time I go into the doctor's office, I see you have an allergy. I said, no, I don't. They're being sued into next week. I said, they're causing all kinds of damage. And that's how that's what happens on your medical record. When they call your medical record up, apparently they can only put in that you have an allergy to it.
Wow. Well, they have an algorithm that they look at, and you can only choose certain things.
Hmm. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it is very interesting that, and you can get a medical bracelet that lists all of your allergies, which I think is very good. It's a very good little investment.
Yes.
Because one of the things that they are suggesting about this COVID vaccine is that if you have allergies to something, that you shouldn't take it.
Yeah. Yeah, they better get that message over to the talking heads on CNN.
I don't think that nah. I don't think they're going to make any big announcements on that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's other things, too, that you can do to protect yourself. Let's see. Let's take we have a caller, Tom, in Utah. Tom?
Hello. Just a little side note. I was asked to go down to New Orleans after Katrina and help them identify the cause of death that those families were suffering when they were put into the FEMA trailers. And curiously, they were being told that they were suffering from PTSD or, psychological rather than being biologically evaluated. So when you get a chance, I know you only got a few seconds to discuss this thing at all, but go to gassingamerica.com and give me a call. And I can take you through the experience that I had where I was just really frustrated with the medical that were brought in, federally provided medical after Katrina. They were telling these people that they were suffering illness and death because of stress. And of course,
didn't Barbara Bush say, all those people, they should consider themselves lucky that that they were given a place to live? And she was being very elitist, and it was pretty terrible. It was very revealing about how they felt about these victims. And when you look at Katrina to begin with, and the dams that all of a sudden failed, that kind of created the floods, it's pretty bad. We have no idea what is going on most of the time. We're victimized in so many ways, but we cannot continue to have this victim card and to be a victim. We've got to stand up and become fighters. Quit being victims. Take control of your lives.
That's right.
By the way, those condemned units were then being offered to the Veterans Administration to house the lower income or the homeless vets.
Oh, my gosh.
And the people in D.C. were not happy with me when I interfered with that process.
Well, good for you, Tom.
Anyway, when you get a chance, go to gassingamerica.com. It's rather, carefully written so that it doesn't condemn people, but if you see the issue, and then you realize that these people are being injured and they're not being told the truth, and instead they're being given the fenfluroxetine, right?
Yeah.
And telling them even their babies are suffering from PTSD.
Yes.
You know, Jesse Finneran, the ex-deputy sheriff down there in New Orleans, when he called me, he said, they're trying to say that our babies are suffering from stress. And I said, well, how often is a baby sitting in his crib saying, oh, I'm terrified, the dike's going to break? And so, they were trying to say that.
That is such a crime against infants, to put babies, seriously, a baby stressed out? Oh. That just makes me sick that people would, that parents would believe this garbage. Okay, we're out of time. Dave, thank you so much. Tom and the rest of the callers.
Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
For all you do. And you'll be taking the program next week because
I'll be taking the reins.
Yes.
Be taking the reins.
Yes, thank you for that. Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.